Please rise as you're able and turn to face the font in the back. In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome especially to those of you who are newcomers and guests among us. God bless you. The peace, light, and love of Christ Jesus that we as people of Queen Anne experience each time we gather in God's holy name, and especially on our celebration of this festival day of Reformation. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have harmed you with our lips, that we have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. Creating that war within us, of conflicts and disputes, our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering around us. The great mercy, forgive our sins.
God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial, defend them against all enemies of the gospel, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The renewed covenant will not be breakable, but like the old covenant, it will expect the people to live upright lives. To know the Lord means that one will defend the cause of the poor and needy. The renewed covenant is possible only because the Lord will forgive iniquity and not remember sin. Our hope lies in a God who forgets. A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. The second reading, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Paul's words stand at the heart of the preaching of Martin Luther and other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God through works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God through the divine activity centered in Christ's death. This act is a gift of grace that liberates us from sin and empowers our faith in Jesus Christ. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. The close reading of Scripture by Martin Luther, coupled with seeing his poor peasant parishioners fleeced by representatives from Rome, led him back to ancient truths that had been sort of buried or ignored. And this talk of truth by Jesus today and the place of truth in the Reformation reminded me of a 2009 movie called The International. It starred Naomi Watts and Clive Owen. Now, without spoiling it for you, I can at least tell you that it's a story about an Interpol agent attempting to expose a high-profile financial institution's role in an international arms-dealing ring. You got that with me so far? So, in one scene, Naomi Watts, a Manhattan district attorney, has an intense conversation with her supervisor. And he questions her, "What are you doing here?" "I'm trying to do my job." "Do you have any idea of the storm you've gotten me into?" "We are just trying to get to the truth." "I get it. But what you need to remember is that there's what people want to hear, and then there's what people want to believe. There's everything else, and then there's the truth." "And since when is that okay? I can't even believe you're saying this to me. The truth means responsibility." "Exactly. Which is why everyone dreads it." Another voice. "One of these days you'll see," he said. "Though you think me cruel, judge me wrong, and believe yourself right, one of these days you'll see I was right. And you'll thank your old man. Trust me." Oh my father must have recited that to me and my brother 1,000 times. But he knew it well, and probably learned it and its truth from his own father. "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus is addressing Jews who believe his words, but tentatively. They're still hedging their bets, clinging to the law of Moses and the patrimony of Abraham. And they are taken aback by Jesus' insinuation that they are hesitant, holding back, being held back by sin itself. Oh, they're not sinful, just prudent. Like us? Maybe that's why we continue to hold our arsenals and hoard our riches. A couple of years ago, I heard General Mattis speak. Yes, that Mad Dog Mattis general. And he was speaking at Temple de Hirsch, in the Central District on East Union. And he talked about two distinct ways that America can position itself in the world. He said one way is by intimidation, threatening other nations by force. The other way is by inspiration, living out the ways of peaceful, civil, democratic truths we hold to be self-evident, making enemies friends through diplomacy. And yet we continue to hold our arsenals and hoard our riches. Oh, but it's not sin, it's prudence. A preacher by the name William Sloan Coffin once noted in a sermon, there are two ways to be strong. One way is to have many weapons. The other way is to have few enemies. And there are two ways to be rich. One way is to have plenty of money. The other way is to have few needs. And like these early followers of Jesus, maybe we're just not quite ready to take the step from the one to the other. And so if you're like me, we try to have it both ways. After all, it is a long way from here to there, from faith in our weapons to faith in enemies made friends, from faith in our stock portfolio to faith in God's sufficiency. It's a long way from here to what Martin Luther called a lively, reckless confidence in the grace of God. And like all first steps, any we take will be faltering, clumsy, self-conscious, and hard. That's why, as I stand here, looking up there ahead, pondering the daunting, difficult distance from where I am to where I ought to be, and rehearse for the thousandth time all the good reasons why I ought to do it my way, safe and prudent, I hear a familiar voice, familiar words. One of these days you'll see, he said, though you think me cruel, judge me wrong and believe yourself right, one of these days you'll see that I was right. And you'll thank your old man. Just trust me. God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God.
Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation. Eternal Counselor, guide the church along your paths of mercy. Direct it to be a refuge where all are genuinely welcomed and their gifts are celebrated. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal wisdom, strengthen the voices of those who cry out for change to unjust systems. Give lawmakers, judges, and all those who occupy seats of power listening and compassionate hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal compassion, train us to respond to the cries of those in any kind of need. Give encouragement and comfort to those who call out for relief from pain, grief, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal servant, grant vision and wisdom to the church so that those who are in need are not ignored. May the command of Jesus to love our neighbor sharpen our focus for work in the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. For whom or what else do the people of God pray? Hear our prayer. God of loving kindness, we pray that you bless each person present here today, that you accompany them in their joys and sorrows, that you empower them with faith in the face of trials, that you give them the spirit of goodwill towards others. We pray also for Pastor Dan, for Bruce's family, for Valerie's family, for Pat's family, for Wayne, for Leah, for Angie and Jessica, for James, Allie's friend Sarah, for Jackie and Dylan and their families, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi, for Eunice, for Bill, for John's family, Samuel and Zion and their mother, for Scott, for Beckett, for Almaz, Awatosh, and Muligeta, for Matt's mother, Jeannie, for Finley, Jean, Jan, Richard, Barb, and Hildy. Lord, in your mercy.
In our prayer.
Eternal hope, may the legacy of the saints inspire us every day. We hold fast to the promise that we will be together in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with your neighbor.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you. Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Heaven and earth will flow of your glory, of
on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, come and taste the joy of God.
Okay, great, thanks. We'll commune each other at the end. Okay.
Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, a warm welcome to those of you who are newcomers, guests among us this day. We are blessed by your presence, and if you have time to join us for some fellowship as you exit the sanctuary, just turn left and you'll smell hot coffee and some other yummies to enjoy, and a rich conversation as well. This afternoon at 4 p.m., it's our privilege to host Choral Vespers for Reformation, featuring Kyle on organ, our wonderful choir, as well as other singers from around the community, and strings. And not only do I get to come to it, I get to participate in it as well. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So when you leave here, get some lunch, refresh yourself, and come back at 4, please. Please, Magdalena.
I'm here to ask you all to come to next week's forum. It's on November 3rd, Christian Nationalism, A Threat to the Gospel and Democracy by Reverend Dr. Rick Rouse. A very relevant topic always, but especially in this next couple of weeks with the election coming up. I think it's going to be a really interesting talk. So next week, 9 a.m. like normal in the conference room or on Zoom. We'd love to see you there. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you. And I can say that I've heard him speak before, and this isn't a one-off for him. This is something he's been tracking and studying a long way. So yes, Magdalena, it will be a very timely topic for us. Also in the lobby, you'll find sign-up sheets. We'll be participating in the feeding program, serving lunch, preparing lunch, and serving lunch a couple of Tuesdays and Thursdays at All Pilgrims on Capitol Hill. So if you can lend your time and hand to that, it'd be much appreciated. There's also a fresh sign-up sheet for home visits from this pastor until your pastor returns early in December. And then finally, one note for next week's celebration of All Saints Sunday. I'm extending two invitations to you. The first is, this book is available for you to write names of your beloved ones who are now with God. So it doesn't have to be from within this last year. It can be from any time. I just ask you to print the names, because this pastor will have to read them in our prayers next week. There will be a pen available for you, and that stand we'll use is the one over by the font on your way out. So take time with that. And then the second invitation is for you to bring a photo or photos of some of those loved ones. And if they're in a frame, that's fine. We're going to set them up here in the altar area on little desks and tables. As a reminder that not only are there saints below, but we're connected with saints above as well, especially when we celebrate our communion here at the table. Please rise as you're able for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.